dwelleth in me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers. Do you love him this morning? He had to leave his glory and come down and be like you and me and take your place at the cross so that we could have a chance. That's why we love him, because he first loved us. May the Lord bless you this morning. We would just like to look at a Sunday school lesson, just a thought that I find tremendously helpful, and I am praying that it will help you also. I'm standing in a very difficult place this morning, looking at what we had on Friday night with Brother Eli, and what we had on Wednesday night at the Bible study, and the service and the Sunday school last week on Sunday. They were really, really wonderful times of exhortation, lifting our spirits up and raising our faith. And then Brother Wilmore had to come and ruin it all. You know? It's not that I want to do that, but sometimes you feel that you have to do it because the Lord is leading you that way. So I would like to read from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's just one verse. Sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 4. The first verse of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." We just want to look at that this morning. But before I ask you to sit down, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul speaks again to Timothy, and he says from verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to commit this Sunday school class into your hands. Help us this morning, Lord, to look at these scriptures, to receive something of you that may help us in these days that we are living in. We commit it into your hands, Lord, as we ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, saints. We want to greet our viewers that are online as well. May God bless you this morning. So we just read a couple of verses from the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And Paul is speaking of the last days, the days that we are living in. And I'm sure we all agree to that, that these days are the last days. And he is predicting that certain things are going to happen in the last days. The first that we read, he says that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith. So these are people that never had the faith. These are people that had the faith. They were walking with the Lord. But something happens in the last days that causes them to begin to depart from the faith. And how did they do that? By giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we want to end there this morning, but as we want to get to that verse that Paul is speaking about, we want to look from the beginning what he is talking about here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, saying, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous. Perilous, if you were to go and find out what does that mean, it means dangerous times. Times that are very, very dangerous. And if you had a choice this morning to choose a time that you would live, and you were told that the 21st century will be perilous times, dangerous times, I don't think any one of us here would lift up their hand to choose to live in dangerous times. We wouldn't. If we didn't know what would be there in the 21st century, and God put the whole time that is allocated to humans on this earth and say, choose the time that you want. These last days over here will be perilous times, because that's what the Bible says. There will be perilous times. None of us would choose that, you know? If you know some place is a dangerous place, you wouldn't consciously choose to live there. I remember once when we were going to Africa, myself and my wife and two children at that time, and my mother, I told her, we are coming to see you. We'll get into South Africa, get a car, and drive all the way to Zimbabwe. My mother lived in South Africa for many years. And she said, oh, can't you just come directly to Zimbabwe? There were no direct flights at that time. You had to go through South Africa. And I said, no, we can't. She says, South Africa is a very dangerous place. So when you are coming, make sure you don't give anybody a lift. Don't stop at the traffic lights at night, even if it's red. Don't drive with your windows open. And if the cops stop you, just open a tiny bit to speak to them until you are sure they are cops. So all that, hearing that from a mother, a good mother who had such big influence on me, I was like, that's a very perilous journey that I'm about to take. So when we got there, I was fully aware of my surroundings at all times. We drove from Pretoria all the way to Beitbridge, 500 kilometers nearly, non-stop at night. And I didn't even fall asleep at all because I was aware that this is a perilous journey. There are robbers on the way. You know, they could pounce on you any minute. I drove all night. The wife was sitting next to me, you know, wiping the sweat away and what, you know. It was an interesting journey. Until today, whenever I go to South Africa, I'm tense. I'm very aware because mother told me this is a perilous place. So when you are going through a perilous time, and you know it's a perilous time, it changes you, the way you interact and you look at things and things like that. So sometimes, you know, you don't know that you are in a perilous place. You know, you could be living in a perilous place and you don't know. And that's most of us Christians, because the Bible expressly says here, the last days will be perilous times. But most of us, you know, I remember I went to work in London, you know, a couple of years ago. And sometimes when I finish work, I'm back in the hotel and I feel like I need something to eat. I go and look for something outside. And I use that time to walk because I don't like to use the gyms in the hotels because all the women, you know, and in their state of undress. And I would rather go and walk, which is almost the same anyway now on the streets as well. But I find that it's better when you are walking outside because we are all human, you know. And I was working in an area called Romford in London, and I was just, well, this is a nice place. I look for food. I take a roundabout way and I'm looking at this, taking pictures of the buildings. I come back and eat my food. Weeks later, I met a guy who works for this company. And I was like, yes, I was in your office in Romford a few weeks ago. I worked there for a couple of days. I stayed over there for the weekend because the other day was a Monday. I was working there. And he said, what? You were in Romford? What's the most dangerous place in Dublin? I said, Ballymun. You know, I'm sorry if anybody lives in Ballymun, but it is dangerous. And he says, you should think of Romford as 10 times worse than that. People can just knife you on the streets for no reason. Violence and drugs and things like that. So when he said that, and to think of how I was in Romford and not even aware it's a perilous place, I was like, my, I was in danger there. I could have, you understand? So when you don't know that a place is perilous, it changes you. You take up this relaxed attitude. You meet people on the streets. How are you doing? How are you? You know, you greet people and you are just relaxed. You are not afraid of anything that might happen to you. And that's exactly like most of us Christians, that we are told that the latter days, the last days will be perilous times. The word perilous means more than danger. You are at imminent danger to your life. And then here we are, we arrive to 2022. This is the year 2022. and we begin to look what is happening in the year 2022, there seems to be peace around here. You know, there's roads going up everywhere. People are building million euro homes and new cars and hospitals in every town, and children are going to school. It seems like there's a lot of peace and prosperity going on around here. You know, aeroplanes taking off. Every minute an aeroplane is taking off somewhere, bringing people to other places for pleasure. Rockets going into space for tourism. People are going to space just to take a picture and come back, you know. And you think that the Bible said it will be perilous times, and you compare that with what is happening right here, you could think two things. That maybe it's not the end times, you know. But we know it is the end times. But where is the peril? Are these the last days? What danger was the Bible speaking of, saying those days will be perilous times? You might be tempted to think that this scripture is contrary to what we are witnessing in these days that we are living in. And that there, the very fact that you can be at ease when you see what is happening, yet the Bible predicted that these will be perilous times, that's part and parcel of the deception of this day. The devil wants you to think that. He wants you to relax so much, and he can just push anything he wants through your throat because you don't realize how perilous it is. You look at the prosperity and the things that are happening and you think, well, man has never had a good time than we are having. Food everywhere, people eating and drinking and buildings and what you like. These are the perilous times. I mean, if the believers that lived through the dark ages, you know, they read the same scripture. They saw what was happening. These people were burned at the stake. Some of them were fed to lions, alive, brother. They were killed mercilessly. Women with children were cut open if you read the Fox Book of Martyrs and all those history of the church. These are real things. And those people were like, Lord, I'm glad I'm living in these days. I'm not in the latter days that Paul speaks of. Because in those days, perilous times shall come. I mean, do you get what I'm trying to say? But you come here and you look and you see, are these the perilous times? And that's the deception right there. It starts there to make you think that all is well, it's beautiful, it's going great, I can choose to relax in Laodicea. No wonder in these days people will slumber and sleep. They don't realize how perilous the times that we are living in. And going back to the scripture, it says that the last days will be perilous. It's a different kind of danger to what you would normally think and imagine when we say it's a perilous journey. You wouldn't think that, well, it's gonna be like the days that we are living. You would think that there will be people there killing each other and things like that. That's what a person would think. But these still are perilous times, just like it was in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. It was a beautiful garden that God made for his children. And they were enjoying life there. And he gave them the word, you shall not eat of this tree. Everything was good, the Bible says. Yeah? But Eve went out one afternoon and met with the serpent. And the devil had anointed this serpent. The devil had got into this serpent. And he began to speak to her and said, did God say, you shall not eat of this tree? And she answered and said, yeah. God said, we will not eat of this tree because the day that we eat thereof, we will die. And the serpent said, you surely not die. God knows when you eat, you'll be like him. And did you ever really consider what Eve's response was? The Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 3 says, she looked and she saw that the tree was good for food. This was her conclusion. it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise.
Amen.
That was her conclusion when she looked at this tree that is supposed to be, if you touch, you die. And it wasn't looking like that. It was a tree to be desired. It was a tree good for food, pleasant to the eyes. And she's looking and saying, how can this be a dangerous thing? There she was deceived. Eve, when she actually partook of that tree, she was thinking she's doing something right. That's where the deception is, where the devil can make you to relax in these perilous times and make you do things when you actually think you're doing right. A lot of people that depart from the faith don't do that because of an evil desire. They think they're doing right. But the devil deceives them into thinking they're doing right. That's what happened to Eve. And exactly as Paul says here in chapter 4, if you can think of what happened in the Garden of Eden, think of exactly what Paul is saying here. You could think he is giving a summary of what happened in the Garden of Eden. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Isn't that what Eve did? She departed from the faith that had been delivered to her, that you shall not eat of this tree. That's all she had to keep. But she departed. How did she depart? Giving heed to seducing spirits. You see how the process has happened for Eve. And she went and carried out the doctrine of devils. That's predicted for this very day that we are living in. In the last days, the Spirit expressly speaks that this will happen. This kind of deception will happen. I want to give some examples. You know. You know, if you read more in that chapter we are reading, it says, refuse profane and old wives' fables. Yeah? Because that is happening a lot in this world now. And it's too bad. These people that we are speaking of, that will depart from the faith, they are Christians like you and me. And I'll prove that even more clearly later on. That anywhere, you know, these things, the way they happen, that Eve met with this subtle creature in the Garden of Eden that could speak, could reason, could present an argument, and it deceived Eve. Yeah? The devil was in this serpent. Yeah? These days, he doesn't even have to come to your house to do that. The devil. He's got his agents at work everywhere, 24/7, uploading their content all over the place, on billboards, bus adverts, everywhere the devil is looking to see how he can entice you with these seducing spirits. And one of his most effective tools is a brother or sister that is not walking right with the Lord. Just because a brother has got such and such a haircut, you know, and you take heed to those kind of deceiving things, and you begin to depart from the faith. Easily like that. Just because a sister has wore a certain fashionable dress, and she's a sister in the church. And you say, well, because sister so-and-so has it, I'm going to wear the same thing too. And when you speak as a deacon, I speak to people when I notice something's wrong. They know how to quote scripture back to you. And the message, they say, well, the prophet never really addressed that, you know. It's a gray area. Why would you want to play with things that are in gray areas? Doesn't the Bible say, shun the very appearance of evil? What business is it that a brother and a sister will take the money that they are professing has come from God by paying tithes? You know, that's what you're doing. You're acknowledging God has blessed me with this money. What business have you taking that money that God has blessed you to go in a shop and leave all the other aisles with all the other juices and get the juice that is in a bottle that looks like champagne. What are you testifying? You know, I won't be popular because of this, but I've got to say it anyhow. Your children will notice you doing that, and they open it like the people in the world do. Poof! You know, what are you teaching your children? Children learn by example, and then when they grow up, they go now to the shop and they don't know it was 0% alcohol. It even says 0% alcohol. Even the word alcohol should make you shun it completely, even though it's 0%. Isn't that so, Brother Eli? I don't understand why a Christian would want to do that. Time goes away quick. I either prepare too little or too much. Anyway, let's look at other examples. The first time this thing happened, that Eve was deceived by the serpent, and she departed the faith and gave heed to a seducing spirit. Do you know what happened? You just have to look around. Look at the thousands of years of death that have occurred to the human race, even to innocent animals. They didn't die then. Now they have to die and eat each other because a woman was deceived. Yeah? All the sicknesses and the troubles and the wars, everything can be traced back to that. The first time she did it, what do you think it will happen when you do it after God has shed the blood of his innocent son and made a way of salvation for you and for me? What do you think it will cause? Do you want to know what it will cause? I'll give you an example from the Bible, and this is a very good and practical one. Moses was a vindicated prophet of God. He led the children of Israel through the wilderness. God parted the Red Sea, and as Brother Eli said, they had the pillar of fire in the camp. They looked at it with their very eyes, and they had the cloud leading them by the day. They saw the plagues of Egypt, like Brother Eli gave a good illustration, that it was very dark here, but there it's light. It could only be God. And these people, after seeing Moses vindicated like this, a prophet, a false prophet, anointed with the evil spirit, comes with a seducing spirit and says, Moses had told them, you know, you shall not marry out from outside of the faith, you know. You marry only Israel. Balaam came and said, do you know that we are actually one? You and us, we are one. You can marry among us. And they did it. They listened to seducing spirits. And they believed it and departed from the faith. The next thing they were marrying. The Bible says, Jesus says, they are every one of them dead. The prophet says that means eternal separation from God. You see how severe it can be. Just a simple thing. Just try to copy from what the world is doing, simply because when celebrities get proposed to, the man kneels before. What son of God does that? And you say, I want my future husband to do that to me too. I don't know if you'll be son of God, you know. Because a man should not kneel before a woman. That's woman worship. The very thing that this whole world is going to, and you want that to be a record for your own life, how you... God have mercy. These people, the Israelite children that we are talking about, that were deceived by Balaam, brother, they stood with one another and said, we are the chosen people of God. Brother, we are chosen, isn't it, brother? We can stand out there and say, we are the chosen people of God. Look at all the evidence. The evidence is pointing to the fact that we are the elect of God. How can God let us be deceived? They would quote scripture and say, the Bible says, even Jesus himself says, it would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. It means it's not possible for the elect to be deceived. And people hide behind that and say, I am the elect of God. All the proof points to that. Look, how God has sent us a vindicated prophet. Moses, I imagine, he spoke to them. He ate with them. Every day he probably said to them, good evening, friends. They listened to Moses. Yeah? Good morning, friends. Moses revealed the seven seals to them. They seen the miracles that happened in the life of Moses. And they said, sure, we are the chosen of God. We can't be deceived. How can God lead us this far and then let us be deceived now? If that's your excuse too, brother, let me tell you something. The elect of God. The elect of God will not be deceived. That is true. That's very true. But why will they not be deceived? Because the elect of God have the word of God in them. They obey the word of God. They walk according to the word of God. They never go out seeking the permissive will of God. Brother, if God says no to them when they ask something, they are happy because they want to do the will of God. In fact, I don't think the elect of God will ever receive a no from God because they never go to ask amiss. No, never. Lord, make a way for me to marry that Philistine woman. They never do that. That's where you get a no, you know. That's the elect of God. Full obedience to the word of God entitles you to the token. Amen. That's how you won't be deceived in this age. That's how you will know that you are the elect of God. Amen. When you live according to his word, not old wives' fables. Regardless of whether you sit under the pillar of fire, every single Sunday you come to church. It's even hanging in your sitting room. You see it every day you walk in there. And whenever you open the word of God, you hear something, and even the radio in your car says, good evening, friends, every day. You can still be deceived without the Holy Spirit. I have a lot more to go here, but our time fails us. We shall look at some of these profane and old wives' fables. Because it starts very small. You know how it's difficult for our sisters to keep some of their hair. Like I know the white sisters a lot. They like to, you know, the hair splits on the ends, you know. sister so-and-so does it, you know. And you are following old wives' fables. The Bible says, cut it not. Can you imagine a son and a daughter of God listening to other things instead of the word of God? That shouldn't be among us, saints. May God have mercy on us. May God help us, and may God bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. It's not easy, Father, to speak of things like this, Father. There's so many other things a person could have spoken from the Bible. But you know, Father, that I want to be honest and to say what is right, Lord, just to help your people, even as you have helped me, even through these scriptures that we read today, Lord. Be merciful unto us now and help us to consider these things, Father, before we rush to do things, before we rush to do the events in our lives. Many times we try to copy exactly what Hollywood is doing. Father, help us to consider what your word says first, before we appear like the world. Grant us grace, Father. Bless the service now. We commit it into your hands. Lord, may you come and speak to us once more, Lord, throughout the preaching of the word with our brother Maxwell, through the preaching of the word with our pastor down in Limerick. Father, we just ask your blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.